God of incredible love, we thank you for your written and your spoken word. As we unpack that a little bit more now, would you open our hearts and our minds to who you call us and who you are calling us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so if you could bring up that first slide for me, that'd be great. So we are in the middle of coming towards the end of a series, actually, about some of the values of our church. But we started off, during the week, I was at a leadership course. I'm doing a post-grad blah, blah, in leadership. And one of the things they talked about is that every organisation has a purpose. Every organisation has a purpose. And they said, you know, do you know what your purpose is? And there was, because it was all church people there, I said with a clear call, I said with absolute certainty, they said, if I came to your church, would those people been at your church longer than 12 months be able to say what your purpose is? And I said, without a shadow of a doubt, if you came to anyone who has been in our church since 2017, that they will be able to tell you what our purpose is. It's short, it's sharp, it means a whole lot. And we had to write it down and then speak about it. And I said, yeah, come to our church. I invited the guy to our church. He's not here this morning, unfortunately. But I said, you know, if you came along, this is what people would say. They would say our purpose is all about
creating community.
Oh, very good. Very good. And then I said, but underneath that, we've got a set of values. And I said, we're going through them at the moment. All these values, we've been talking about them for the last 5 weeks. I said, I even gave people a little way of remembering what they are. I said, so if you came along to my church, I don't reckon that many people would remember what they are, actually. Who remembers the little trick I gave you to remember what they are? Can you remember, this is no children here, okay? So he's asleep, that's okay. Sigs, Peg. Courageous faith, intentional outreach, genuine relationships, scriptural engagement, passionate worship, empowering leadership, and generous lives. Sigs, Peg. We've been working through them, whilst I've got the whiteboard in front of that today, sorry about that, just helps us with the stage management, we are looking at one today, which is genuine relationships. And I want to say that I won't be speaking all the time this morning. You guys are going to be helping me out with this, just so you know, I'm giving you fair warning. I want to start by sharing something John Allberg talked about. Now, who's ever been to IKEA? Who's ever made it out of IKEA? Oh, you've all made it out of IKEA. Isn't it just the best way to keep people there for as long as you possibly can to make decisions about buying things that you don't actually need? IKEA's a great place. They've got a great meatballs as well, haven't they? So, if you've ever been to meatballs, if you've ever been to IKEA, you know there's a section all the way at the end. Remember, we're talking about general relationships. All the way at the end, there's a section just before you go to the checkout. And that section has merchandise at a greatly reduced price. And the tip-off to what these products are is a particular price tag you'll see on them and in that area. And that area is known as the as-is section. I'm going to move this over a bit because I'm not sure you can see that. The as-is section. Everything is as-is. This is their way of saying there's something a little bit wrong with this merchandise. The store's giving you fair warning that you are most likely going to find something wrong with this product. Could be a stain, it could be a zipper that's not working properly, the door might not shut fully, doesn't sit flush. What they're saying is that these items aren't their normal items. Now, the store doesn't want to tell you exactly what's wrong with them most of the time. Have you ever noticed that if you've been there? It's in the as-is section. They don't tell you exactly what's wrong with it. You've almost got to find out for yourself. They give you fair warning, and they don't want you to whinge about it afterwards. They don't want you to bring it back and ask for an exchange, because they'll just say, sorry, that was in the as-is section. Well, guess what? When you deal with human beings, we are all in the as-is section of the universe. Think about it for a moment. The people that you love deeply, the people in your life that you love the most, even these people are slightly irregular and come with an as-is label. For whatever reason, perhaps it's about deception or a cruel tongue, passive spirit, out-of-control temper, a flaw here and there, They probably won't tell you what their flaw is. You'll have to find it out for yourself, a little bit like the section from IKEA. But like that section from IKEA, you know what? When you get it home, you find out, don't you? They might not tell you, but you find out. The only way that we are to be in relationships with any other person is by saying that every one of us is as is people. If you're looking for the perfect person, I want to say you're in the wrong corner of the universe. The reality is we enter into relationships with some sort of illusion, don't we? That people are normal, like me. That wasn't meant to be funny. And what we do when we approach life like this is we actually resist the reality that we're not all together. That every single one of us, in some way, shape or form, is an as-is person. And a mark of maturity is to accept that fact without trying to control people, to fix them, or pretend that they're not as-is. And the hardest reality in all this is to accept that I am an as-is person. And guess what? So are you. Like it or not. And the reason I start here is because if we're going to have genuine relationships with people, if we're going to have deep and meaningful relationships with people, we can't start thinking that the other person is perfection when that's just an illusion. Sorry, I did look over at my wife for a second going, she's pretty close. Actually, I said at our 7:30 service, this whole service could be about my relationship with Vicky. You'll find out why soon. So we're talking about genuine relationships, and the spot that we all need to start is this. We're all as is people. John Ortberg, in his book, and this is where this idea came from, says this, and the name of his book is actually this. Everyone's normal till you get to know them. Think about it. Think about it. It's true, right? Everyone's normal till you get to know them. So what we're doing this morning is, I'll speak a little bit more and then we'll get into the next activity that we're going to do together. Let me do a quick check. How many people, hands up for this one, how many people have ever had a problem with another person? Okay. Was that person me? Don't put your hands up! No! No. Not so quickly. That person might be next to you. They might be here. They might be somewhere else. There's one thing that we all hold in common, though. Every one of us wants better relationships. I have not spoken to one person who has said, I want a worse relationship. You might have a good marriage, but we always want it to be better, right? You might get on okay with your kids or great with your kids, but it could be better. You want it to be better. If you've ever lost a relationship, you know what it means to have that pain of not having a good relationship. We all want better relationships. And relationships in life tend to be the things that bring us most meaning and most joy. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Research has shown time and again that happiness over time is not the fruit of wealth. It's not the fruit of achievement or success or popularity. Happiness over time comes from the presence of deep and meaningful relationships. You think about it. Think of the most joyful times of your life. I'm willing to bet, if I bet, that they would involve other people and relationships that you've had. Here's another truth. Your relationships will impact your life more than anything else. And this is not a secular idea, but one that is deeply biblical. God created us for relationships. Relationships with Him and relationships with each other. We were created relational beings so we could become all that God intended us to be. It's why you hear me talking about, and we talk about, creating community. There's this idea that we were never meant to be on our own, and that we're meant to be in life-giving relationships. That's why I say, join a life group. If you can't join a life group, join a ministry group. But we want to connect you beyond a Sunday morning Because we all need relationships. And we need God relationship, and we need people relationship. I'm going to tread on some people's toes here, perhaps, just at the front. When people say, God is all I need, I actually think that theologically is incorrect. I think God is God, and I think God has set our hearts towards eternity. But God in his creation has set us towards God and to others. It's why that great commandment is loving God and loving others. They go together. We okay? Okay, you can push back at me later about that. So, we're talking about genuine relationships. And I don't have enough time to talk to you about all the different ideas about relationships. But what we are going to do is we're going to make this sermon together. We're actually going to talk about what we think, what you think, are key ingredients for genuine relationships. We're going to put them up on a board, and then we're going to talk about a few. So, what I'm going to ask you to do is in groups of people around you, could be three or four, could be five, whatever have you, could be a row of people, whatever it is. No one sits alone, though. I want you to come up with your top three important things if you're going to have genuine relationships with others. What three things, and there's going to be more than that, obviously, but what three things are most important to you as a group? I'm going to ask you to feed them back one by one. So you've got 4 minutes to do this. So please introduce yourself if you've not met the person or people before. No one sits alone, please. One minute to go. 1 minute. Okay. All right. So, could I have one person from each group just raise their hand so I know how many groups we have, please? Hang on, one person just... So, are you two groups, are you? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, we're going to go for it. Let's give it a go. Okay, let's start with this group here. Top one. Okay. Let's just put honesty up. Honesty. Anyone know that song? Such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Anyone know that? Billy Joel? Honesty. Let's just take one at a time. Next group.
I just want patience.
Yep, next group. Communication. Communication breakdown. Listening, okay. Yep. Next group. Common interest. Yep, next group. Caring. Next group. Sorry, did we miss a group then? Could I put grace / forgiveness together on that? Is that a stretch or do you want... Would that be a... You don't know what that means to me? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Okay, Val. Who is up the back? Was that respect? Where did respect come from? Your group? Okay, group up the back. Compassion. Yep, next group over. Time. I'm going to extrapolate from that and just say time slash presence because, yep. Next group.
Love.
This word, say clear now. That word, say clear now. Thank you, someone. My bad singing. yes, next group.
Integrity.
Integrity, yes. Oh, is it up the wall back? So I forgot the soundies. Sorry, boys. Trust. Who is next? I think group behind. Helen. Sharing. I don't have a song for that. Next. Perseverance. Next. Yeah, next. Okay. I'm going to add... I had acceptance. Well, food's always a part of any friendship, isn't it, really? Okay. Has anybody else not got one up that they think they really would like to put up there? Okay. So, could we say that's the same as... okay, yep, no worries. Genuine sharing. I'm going to put integrity, authenticity, same thing, sort of. Okay. Authenticity. No others that we need to go up? Yes, Stella? Recognising our own faults. Okay. Okay. Can I put that with authenticity to saying this is who... Is that okay? So, but it's really important to recognise our own faults. Okay. We're going to have every word up there soon. Okay, but thank you. Thank you all. Can I just say, as a part of this exercise, listen to what the people around you said, because as you're in a relationship with them, you now know part of what they value in genuine relationships. You might have all come up with different ideas, but listen to what the individuals said. Okay, so big list here, and the list could go on and on and on, couldn't it? Who thinks that they do all this? Well. You do it all well? Yep. Yep. Ruth, Trevor does it all well? No? Can I just say, Ruth just didn't say no. She goes, no! I want to pick up on a couple, if that's okay this morning. Have a look at the list and just think to yourself quickly, which one do you need to invest more highly in? Just take a moment to read that list. Which one do I need to invest more highly in? I'm going to suggest that if we've got time, I'm going to just highlight a few and get us to talk about them together. I mean, they're all really, really good. I think a couple that I really want to just touch on is acceptance. I think this whole grace forgiveness thing is important. Time and listening, they're all important, aren't they? I'll do that one. How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Don't look at your clocks or your watches or your phones. Okay, we've got time. Okay, let's jump in. Let's jump in with this whole thing of time presence. Who knows the world in which we live is this? Anyone know that world? I just did it. Flick. Oh, there's a message for me. Just give me a second. That's what it's like, isn't it? God in Christ, came and was present with people. It's a relationship sort of, if there's no presence and there's no time with someone, you don't actually have a relationship with them, right? Not in the same way that you would if, let me rephrase that, you can have long distance relationships, that's okay, but the more genuine, the deeper the relationship, there's a time and a presence spent in that relationship. Whatever that might be. When we see Jesus came, he was incarnated. Jesus was God beyond and became God in the present. And that word incarnate literally means to what? Pitch your tent. Jesus came and pitched his tent amongst us. And that's why for the Israelites in particular, the tent of meeting and then so the tabernacle, all those things were so important because that was God's presence with them. But in Christ, he came and he spent time with us. I wonder, how much time do you actually spend with people? And again, I'm speaking about how much time I give to her. I was thinking about the other day, I had a mate of mine who said that he likes to multitask. He says he can be in front of the TV watching a show, sending an email, listening to his wife and patting the dog all at the same time. Has anyone ever tried to do that? And he's a guy and he goes, I don't know why I try to do these things because guys can't multitask. He says it's like you've got a computer, too many computer tabs open on your computer. Eventually, it's going to crash. And Jesus came into time and presence, not just to die on the cross for us, but to example to us what it means to have genuine relationships and genuine community. He spent time with them. He lived with his disciples. He didn't spend time with everyone as much as others. He spent more time with some than others. But to have deep and genuine relationships, to have them, you actually need to spend time. Now, if you're anything like me, I'm like my mate who tries to do four things at once. Or perhaps you're like me, you come home and you're still thinking about everything that's happening at work. Has anyone ever done that? And you're sort of sitting there and you're present, but you're not present. Man, this is a hard thing to do. One of the things that we're trying to do in our house, which, you know, we started before the holidays, last holidays, and we're trying to get back to it. After 8 o'clock at night, there's no more of this. No social media. Nothing like that. So that if we might actually have the capacity and the chance to be present with each other. Time and presence is perhaps one of the greatest things that we can give. Because in the end, those people who are important to us don't deserve our leftovers. I think time, presence, is perhaps the critical thing if you want to have a genuine relationship, a deep, meaningful relationship with someone. Turn to the person beside you and give yourself a rating out of 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I do this really well, 1 being I need a lot of help. Just really quickly with the person beside you. No judgment. All right. Again, this is not for anyone to judge. It's just about just bringing your awareness up for you, where you're at with this. You can ask Vicky and Zoe what I score for that. They'll probably tell you the different score to me. But anyway, the next one, I just want to add two together, actually. If we could add authenticity, integrity and honesty together for this next one, because I think it's really, really important. Why do you think, I know what it is for me, but why do you think you're not always honest or authentic about who you are? Again, discussion with the person or people next to you. Why aren't you always revealing who you are to others? Why aren't I being honest about who I am? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Do I need to step back and say, does anybody else have things about them they don't tell other people? The question is why? Not everyone, but some people. Ask that question. All right, that was a quick one. I want to make a suggestion. I want to make a suggestion that our relationships Our relationships this way, and I don't like this terminology so much, our relationships this way are quite often influenced by our relationship this way. So our relationship with others can and are influenced by our relationship with God. If you are to believe that you can be yourself with God, can you believe that you can also be who you really are with a few other people? Because here's a witness of Scripture. God says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Full stop. End of story. God accepts you for who you are. Is it possible that others would do the same? Being who we really are is I think one of the critical things in general attitudes. So it talks about honesty and it talks about integrity. So what's integrity? Easy sort of answer is this. I'm the same when the door's shut at home as I am when the door's open and I'm at work. What's happening on the inside is also being displayed on the outside. Now, that's hard, right? But I wonder if we start with this truth that because God loves me and God has promised that he'll never... In fact, what do we read in the psalmist? The psalmist says, there's nowhere I can go from you, God. I go to the heavens, there you are. I go down the depths, there you are. God sees you. God created you. If we're afraid to reveal, we will never be really known. You can only be loved to the extent that you are known. You can only be completely loved if you are completely known. A friend of mine told a story about how he went on a date with his now wife. On the first 5 dates, they went to these wonderful restaurants and they both got dressed up. And he said, my now wife and we were dating, did their hair really nice, did the makeup really nice, did the fingernails, did the toenails, you know, really dolled up. And he said, he said, after our 5th date, I went around one morning and just popped in early to see her. No makeup. The hair wasn't done. Not dressed in the same way. And he says, I'm not lying about this. He said, it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen because this was really her. Quite often in relationships, and if we want to deepen relationships, if we want to have genuine relationships, we've got to take the makeup off. We've got to take the mask away. Because if we never do, one of the primary things is to know others and to be known. And the only way is if someone goes, you know what, I'm going to take a chance, I'm going to take a step. I'm going to reveal a little bit about myself. Now, I know from personal experience that I've done that before and it's not ended well. But I'm committed to taking one other step and in that hoping that somebody else will take a step towards me as well. Now, this does not happen with every single person. Some of our best friends, Brent and Emma and Kristen and Brian and Leslie, they know who I am. My family knows who I am. Sorry, guys. But they know who I am because we together have taken that step of trying to deepen our relationship and taken those one step at a time. With my life group will probably know me better than most other people in this church because I'm willing to take some steps to be vulnerable there. If we don't deepen our relationships, this whole thing about being authentic, being who we really are and being able to trust that people will still love me anyway, it's so critical. It's not easy, is it? It's so hard. But this thing of authenticity actually matches with this thing called acceptance. I wonder if you can think of some stories in Scripture around acceptance. Let's just do some of Jesus' stories, accounts around acceptance. In what stories or occasions did Jesus accept people? Zacchaeus? Yep. Tax collector? Yep. Woman at the well? Lay the blood, yeah, so I'd say that's probably compassion. But it's acceptance as well because, you know, I mean, Robbie just said the lady that bled, that was always bleeding, and then Jesus healed her. I think it was compassion and acceptance because he had to accept this is where she's at, that she is as is here. The other one that I was thinking about in John 8, The woman that was brought before Jesus for committing adultery. Just think about that story for a moment and this idea of acceptance. Here's Jesus teaching away with some of his disciples and some people. And these religious people, these religious leaders, I think, don't quote me, come with this woman. And she wouldn't have just been walked along. She would have been wrapped in a white cloth and dragged along to see Jesus. You know the account I'm talking about? If you haven't, go read it in John 8. Really interesting. There's a couple of things about it. Firstly, why is the woman getting dragged along and not the man? Firstly. Secondly, for this to be happening, the Mosaic law said it can't just be one person that has witnessed this. It has to be more than one person that bears witness to this testimony. So most scholars are saying that somehow this woman has walked into a trap, that people have been standing there waiting for something to happen so they can just drag her along. That's the outside of the story, which is disturbing, right? And she gets to Jesus, and they bring her to Jesus, and they say, "This woman's been caught in adultery. What do you say?" And the magnificent words that Jesus says. How did he respond? You who have no sin, cast the first stone. You who have no sin, cast the first stone. Acceptance is a reality that we also have sin, that we also have issues, that we are, as is people too. But what I see too often in relationships, whether they be general relationships, deep relationships or other relationships, is this idea of acceptance. Anne Lamott says, "You can assume you have created God in your own image when he hates all the same people you do." Acceptance is an act of the heart. When we accept somebody, we're actually saying, "I'm so glad that you're alive." Don't you want that to be someone doing that to you? I reckon we need to be better at being putting our stones down. If you want to have deep and meaningful relationships, we need to get better at putting our stones down. Now, that's not saying that acceptance is not the same as tolerance of bad behaviour. Jesus still turned to this woman and said, "You know what? I accept you and I love you, but just don't do that anymore. Don't do it anymore." And I wonder if in the context of relationships, that when we accept it, we can actually hear more clearly what it is, if we're being honest about who we are, that we could actually maybe go, because you know what? Everyone's heard of the Johari window. Can I just check Johari window? Have people heard of Johari window? Can you stick your hand up? Otherwise, I'll explain it. No? Okay. Okay. I might get this incorrect, but I don't want to rub all that stuff out. Okay, pretend this, the four sections of the cross. Okay, four sections of the cross. Top section in the Johari window is what you know about yourself and what everybody else knows about you. So that you know that I'm a little bit height challenged. You know that I'm hair challenged. I'm challenged in lots of ways. We all know this. That's information that everyone can see and knows. Then in this corner down here, you have what you know and what other people don't know. And you know what I'm talking about, right? In the top corner, you then have what other people know about you, but you're blind to. Now, do you know what I'm talking about? At the risk of shooting myself in the foot, I remember being in a ministry team at my previous church for lots of years, and we would talk about the reality of our spiritual life, our emotional life, our physical life, all these sorts of things. And in the 9 years there, it took 6 years for someone to say, "Glenn, I think you're struggling with your weight." Now, I don't know if you've noticed that about me. I struggle with it. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. It's probably bad, actually. I struggle with it. But here I am in genuine relationships. And you know what? If you're a fatty, if you are, you can look in the mirror and go, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I'll start tomorrow. But until it actually becomes known to you that you're a fatty, I'm saying that because I am a fatty, so I can say it. You can't. Unless you're in a genuine relationship with me. That's what this is about. Those things that other people see in us that we don't see. And we all have them. That's that corner up there. And then down here is the what I don't know and what nobody else knows. And the whole idea is that this thing here, this section here is to get smaller and smaller and smaller after over time. And one of the only ways that's ever going to happen is if you've got people who you have an authentic, accepting relationship with, where they have spent time with you and they have the right to speak into your life. I want to just touch on that now, the honesty section. I didn't go that, but I want to talk about it really. Because this honesty thing is about being a truth teller. And everyone loves the idea of telling the truth when you're telling when you're the one telling the truth, right? We don't like receiving the truth. Who can think of an Old Testament account with a king who had someone who told him the truth about what was happening in his life? Nathan, thank you. David and Nathan. Do you think David wanted to hear what Nathan had to say? But it changes. It almost saved his life, didn't it? It saved a whole lot of things. Because the reality is, most of us try to minimize or suppress that which we know is true about us. And for many other of us, we finesse the truth in order to spare people's feelings. And I think that's incredibly important that we are careful to do that. But we all need truth tellers in our lives if we're going to grow. And that can only happen in genuine relationships. Because if I'm not in a genuine relationship, a deep relationship with you, a meaningful relationship, I don't have the right to tell you these things. There's this thing called cognitive dissonance. And what that basically is, it's our nearly endless ability to justify what we do or say so that it can be consistent with our own belief about who we are. So we justify what we do and say so we are okay with ourselves. Accountability changes that. Honest, truth-telling relationships change that. And I have to tell you, some of the best relationships I've had, and includes my wife, are ones where there's truth-telling. How are we going? So much here. Don't look at your clocks. Don't look at the time. But plenty of time. Okay. What do we attack? Listening or forgiveness? Let's talk about both. Turn to the person next to you. Why is it important to listen? Who goes first? Hey, Deb, can you turn downstairs and say we're going to be about 10 minutes? Thank you. Okay. It goes with the whole time and presence thing, doesn't it, really? I mean, we can't get feedback from everyone's answers. But there's a difference, isn't there, between listening and listening, right? Yeah, listening and hearing is quite often what it's called. So it's that actually, a mate of mine said he's an extrovert. So he spends a lot of time talking about his favourite subject, himself. And yes, I'm an extrovert, but I'm not a high extrovert. So there's a debate about that, apparently. But he said he finds it really hard because he's an ideas guy and he loves to be out there. And in the end, he said, if I want to actually have genuine relationships with people, then I need to listen to them. And that's a struggle for me. Does anybody else struggle to listen? He said his goal for a month, and I don't know how he measured it, but he said was to listen twice as much as he spoke. And so when he's in conversations with his wife in particular, but with others, there's this whole idea of going, don't think about how I'm going to reply. Don't think about what I think I know the answer for. Don't try and fix the problem, but listen. Because when we listen, we hear beneath when we really listen. So again, I mentioned earlier, as you listened to people earlier say, this is what I value about genuine relationships, you will have an insight if you listened as to what's deeply meaningful to them. Last one, and I think this is perhaps the greatest need for us all, this idea of grace and forgiveness. Oh my goodness, I would be divorced four times over. Well, only once actually. She wouldn't marry me another three times. If it wasn't for the forgiveness. She's smart. Got her the first time though. If it wasn't the forgiveness of my wife. Can I say that forgiveness, I think, is one of the most central Christian tenets that there is. And without it, you will be in hell forever. When you forgive, you are dancing to the rhythm of the divine heartbeat. God intended forgiveness as the only way to keep romance with humans alive. I love that saying. That the reality is that forgiveness is what keeps us going. God's forgiveness in our life. Who can think of a parable or a story where forgiveness, again, has been critical and key? Prodigal son? Yep. Bible knowledge time. Okay. Sorry? Yeah, I can't see who's saying that. Oh, Georgie, there you are, sorry. Guy on the cross next to Jesus, that's right. One of the two thieves. Yep. There's one in particular that I always come back to because it speaks so deeply to me. And I have to say, I hope that I example this. Because for me, it's a value that is incredibly important to me because I know what I've been forgiven. If you've not experienced forgiveness from me, then I want to say I want to make sure that that's corrected. I'm genuine here. Genuine. There's a parable in particular, and it's the one about the unmerciful servant. You know the guy, works for his master, gets this huge debt, can't pay it back. The owner says, well, go on, nick off into jail. And he goes, oh, no, give me a chance. And the owner gives him a chance. And then this servant goes along to the next servant that owes him like nothing. And he goes, give me my money. The guy goes, I can't. He goes, oh, off to jail. If a genuine relationship is going to take place, then forgiveness has to be at the centre of that. I was at presbytery yesterday and they talked about echidnas. Have you ever wondered how echidnas become friends? How do they hang out together? I mean, how do they make new echidnas? They're just these prickly things, aren't they? And whilst they try to hang out together, they're always going to... There's always going to be some prickles there, isn't there? We always need to remember that we're as is people. Forgiveness is not excusing. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not actually even reconciling, although that would be the goal of forgiveness. What forgiveness is giving up the right to strike back. That's not saying that justice shouldn't still happen. You know, if someone kidnaps somebody else, the person needs to forgive them, but it doesn't mean they shouldn't answer for the consequence of their actions. You see, in the parable of the merciful servant, it comes to this idea that quite often when we can't forgive is because we don't see when we see that other person that has hurt us, we see the pain, not the person. Is that true for you? So Robbie's hurt me incredibly. He said that I was short. I'm so upset by that. He's so height challenged people. He's racist against them. I'm so hurt in him. And every time I see Robbie, I no longer see Robbie, but all I can think about is the pain that he's caused me. That's what we have when we don't forgive. This is one of the issues. That's why counselors need to sometimes work through with us. Whilst Robbie might have done that to me and said that to me, that's not who Robbie is. Robbie's my brother in Christ. He's my mate. He's tall. And that's okay. I accept you as being tall. But here what is, we see the pain, not the person. And in our unwillingness to forgive, we forget their humanity. We only see the uncollected debt. So we need to see their humanity if we're going to forgive. And then we need to actually wish them well. That's a hard one, isn't it? They've hurt me. But I have to tell you, if you can get to this place in forgiveness with a relationship with somebody and you wish them well, then I tell you what, you won't be going through hell anymore. Because that's what that parable points to. Jesus says to the unmerciful servant who wouldn't forgive the debt of the other, you know what? I'm going to set you in jail where you'll be tortured until you can repay that debt, which will never be able to be repaid. When we talk about genuine relationships, we need to realize that your relationships will impact your life more than anything else, more than a job, more than anything else. And we've got a board listed here of things that only scratch the surface. I think next year we're going to spend at least 4 weeks digging into some of these things more deeply. But I want to ask you, how are you going with having genuine relationships? I'm not talking about with everyone. I'm talking about with a small group of people. What is it that you need to do to deepen those relationships? There's one last thing I want to talk about. It's connected to all of this, and it's important for us as a church at this time, can I say. And there's this thing of empathy. Empathy can be described in a number of ways. I like to think of it this way. If I'm playing golf, and I love to play golf, I don't play enough golf, but if I'm lining up for a putt, I'm going, this is what I need to look at. This is my view of the hole. I know what I need to do to get the ball from here into that hole. I can see the curves, the undulations on the green. I can see the way the green is, like the grass is leaning. I can see there's a mark in the way. And I can adjust my view to make sure that I get to what I want to get to. Empathy is this. Going, you know what? There's more than one view. There's more than one way to view getting the ball in this hole. And in golf, if you walk around to the other side and you look at the same hole you're trying to putt into from the other side, you see a totally different way of getting that ball in the hole. When it comes to relationships, when it comes to this church at this point in time, I'm not asking you to believe the same things as other people. What I am saying, though, is you need to get around to the other side and see why they're viewing it the way they're viewing it. If you can't do that, then I want to question, do you actually have genuine relationships with those people or not? I know it sounds a bit hard, but my experience is, if I can at least see where somebody else is coming from, this happened to me yesterday. I was at Presbytery and I pretty much almost had a stand up with somebody. We weren't arguing, we were engaging in debate. And I finished, I said, look, I think we're attacking this from two different angles. And of course, I didn't think she was looking at my side of it at all. And somebody else said she wasn't, so she wasn't. Wow. But you hear what I'm saying? It's critical for us, if we value genuine relationships, if we do, that these things are more, and it takes hard work, but I believe and I trust that we're up to that. I believe that we have the capacity in God's grace to listen, to forgive, to communicate, to be authentic, to accept, to be truth tellers, and to have empathy. There's this story in, I just want to finish with this, there's a story in Luke 5 about this guy that has been, who is paraplegic, I think. And he's been on this mat outside for ages. And Jesus is in a house. Jesus goes into a house and is doing some ministry there. And he's got a small group of mates. Best small group ever. Because they don't just see what this man's problem is. They see his humanity. And what this small group does, these people who are invested in this man, because remember, in those days, this guy was a total outcast. In fact, they believed that because there was something wrong with him, that he somehow was a sinner. We wouldn't think that these days, would we? And so this man that's on a mat has a small group and they're like, how do I get him to Jesus? How do I get him to Jesus? How do I help him to become all that he needs? How can I be of assistance to him? How can I help him? How can I have, what's the best thing for this other person at this point in time? And it was to point them to Jesus and get them there in a relational group together. You know what they did? They couldn't get in the front door. Couldn't get in the windows. Lucky it wasn't raining, that's all I'm saying. It was raining straw probably, or whatever the roof was made of in those days. They made a hole in the roof and lowered him down. Best small group ever. One writer calls this the fellowship of the mat. And I reckon for genuine relationships to happen, we all need the fellowship of the mat. That's why I want to encourage you into life groups, but I want to encourage you in beyond life groups to have those people in your life. It could be 3, 4, or 5 people, and sometimes 6 or 7 people, but much beyond that, it's really difficult to be all that you are and give them the time and presence they need. So that you might have a fellowship of the mat. This is where genuine relationships really take place. That's all I have to say about that, because we are out of time. Was that okay? I mean, is this helpful? Don't need to clap. I know it's different this morning. I know it's different this morning, but I have to tell you, listening to you has helped me a whole lot this morning. Why don't we take a moment to pray? God of incredible love and grace, we're so thankful that you are real about wanting to be in a relationship with us. We're so thankful that you are... I have made a way. We're so thankful that you never leave us. You never forsake us. We're so thankful that your love for us is absolute. Lord, would you help us to live in your love? Will that be the place where first of all we find truth and acceptance and grace and forgiveness and honesty? We thank you that you're empathetic towards us. We thank you for your time and your presence. Help us to live out of these things that you have with us into our relationship with others. Because God, as sure as you've placed a God-shaped hole in our heart, you've also placed a people and relationship hole in our heart as well. Lord, for those people here this day that are struggling with a relationship or relationships, may you grant them the grace and the peace that they need to develop that relationship in the way which is life-giving to both parties. And Lord, as we think about those areas in our lives that we need to take one step in, whether that be listening or opening up about who we are, and I pray that you give us the courage to do that. And as your church, God, would you help us to be your people together? Exampling to the world that we are your disciples in the way that we love one another. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.